truly we thank God this evening for being here. How many really want Jesus to fix it? Amen. Amen. How many want the Lord to fix it? Says fix it, Jesus. Amen. And I know he can. Most of all, I know he will. And truly we thank God for being back from Georgia down in council. I know you all probably thought I was going to stay. Amen. But indeed, it was a blessing being there and being introduced and inducted into the Georgia City Council. Amen. It was truly a blessing. And we hear the bishop, an organization, 85 years young, as he says. But I call him a preaching machine.
Right.
He preached like over 2 hours and a half on Friday all together and didn't miss a step. And when he wasn't preaching, he was shouting. When he wasn't shouting, he was running. Amen. So he put some of us younger people to shame. I said, wow. I mean, now, you know, everybody can preach, but the bishop had the bishop shout. That's something we got the bishops and everybody else up. That's serious preaching. Amen. So indeed, we're honored. We thank God for being blessed with his hearing. And Sister Keela. Amen. Did an outstanding job last Friday.
Amen.
Do you have part two tonight?
No, that's all right. You're all right.
Amen. And Elder Mackey, I watched some of Elder Mackey. I watched some of both of them. Elder Mackey is trying to stir it up on Sunday. Amen. Amen. Truly just thank God. Because God is good. We're going to ask you to turn to Psalms. 39th Division of Psalms, and as I said, it was just a blessing. I spoke to Bishop again today, and you know, it just was a different council atmosphere. You know, it's not like the old council that we used to. It was a completely different atmosphere, and you know, what I like the most is Bishop challenged all the pastors and the bishops and the district elders, all the leaders. He challenged all of us. He said, where are the gifts? Where's the power? Where's the Spirit of God in the pulpits? Amen. He said, when you leave and go back to your church, go back with the purpose. Amen. Have a spiritual goal. And you know, the whole thing was about spirituality, and the thing is, where are the gifts? Amen. And he said, know ye not that all of us have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And then we went to church on Sunday, and those are the two messages we heard again. I say, well, you know, God knows how to get the message across. Amen. Know ye not that you come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And we thank God for that. Amen. Psalms, 39th Division of Psalms, after I get it, we're going to start with verse 1. Amen. We're going to read from verse 1 for now, but I'll proceed a little further. We're going to read from verses 1, and we'll conclude with verse 4 for now, and then we'll go a little further as we continue in this. If we have it, can we say amen?
Amen.
It says, to the chief musician, even to Jeduthun, a psalm of David, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will walk my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred.
My heart
was hot within me, while I was musing the fire burn, then spake I with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end,
and the
measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. Lord, we thank you most of all for the mind to be saved. Lord, we thank you that in spite of our shortcomings, Lord, in spite of our failures, in spite of what we are not, Lord, you've still been good to us. Lord, we thank you this evening because we can acknowledge that you've looked beyond all of our faults. Lord God, and that you're able to see and supply our needs. Now on this evening, Lord, we ask you to search every heart. Lord, try every mind. Lord, and then feed us with food that is convenient for our souls. Lord, make us ever so mindful that man is to live by the word of God and not by bread only. And Lord, speak. Lord, stir us up. Lord, restore the spiritual gifts to the church. Lord God, thy word declares that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, restore the healing. Lord, restore the spirit of deliverance. Restore the spirit of saving. Lord, we just ask you on this evening, Lord God, to be real in our lives. Lord, give us a mind, oh God, to acknowledge you in all of our ways. Lord God, for we realize you will direct our path. Now, Lord, we continue to lift up Sister Maggie. Lord, we believe you for a miracle. Even as Abraham, we standardize your promises through our belief. But Lord, we believe that you're able to do all things but fail. Now, Lord, meet our needs, and for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. May be seated. Truly, we thank God tonight. You know, one of the things that Bishop said, he said, you know, too many pulpits have polar bears in the pulpit. Polar bears in the pulpit, that's tough stuff. And this bishop, he don't play no games. He said, yeah, I'm talking to you bishops first. All you suffering bishops too. And he said, yeah, and all you pastors too. He said, he didn't cut no corners. I mean, he put the rubber to the road. Amen. He didn't cut any corners. But he said the biggest problem in the apostolic church is we don't have the power anymore. Amen. We don't have the gifts anymore. He went through Corinthians. He said all those, the gift of knowledge and the gift of wisdom, even though those are gifts, they're manifestation. He went through all that. He said, why are we in the church? Because God has not changed. So if they're not in the church, the fault is not with God. Amen?
Amen.
Now don't get quiet on me. I know it's been a long, hard week. Amen. Nevertheless, God has been good.
Yes, sir.
And you know, as I thought about you know, the bishop's message and his challenge, you know, we had a pastor's meeting. He had a Bible class on Friday for an hour, and then he had a pastor's meeting for almost 3 hours. Then he turned around that night and preached for another hour and a half. Mm. But it was a challenge, and it's for us to be spiritual, for us to bring about change, for us to bring about deliverance in the church. You know, and as I listened to that and I reflected on what he was saying, this, you know, it was after I got back, actually, the message that we're going to deal with tonight is needing a spiritual overhaul. Amen. A spiritual overhaul. Now, there's a replacement is when you take something and just completely get rid of it. But an overhaul is different. Amen. You ever heard of them overhauling an engine? Mm-hmm. When you do an overhaul, what you have to do is you have to take careful time to inspect. You have to inspect what that is you're overhauling to find out what are the shortcomings.
All right.
What are the weaknesses? What are the frailties? You know, I've seen people, they overhaul an engine. It doesn't mean that the engine is not working, but the engine is not up to the top performance. Is performing below where it should be. So as you inspect that engine, there are some parts that are beginning to wear out, and some parts that have grown frail, are on the verge of breaking.
Right.
So you inspect that thing. When you inspect that, so when you inspect it, you have to overhaul. Overhaul means you need to replace some things. There need to be some changes. Amen. Like I said, the motor of the car is still going, but it's not performing at its peak performance. Spiritually, many of us are performing. But the question that we have to deal with tonight, are we performing at our peak performance? The first verse reads, I said I would take heed to my ways. Whenever we look at ourselves, most of the time we're all right, because the Bible says all the ways of a man are what?
Clean
in his own eyes. Amen. So when we look at ourselves, most of the time we're all right. But when we look at ourselves and use God's word as the standard bearer, many of us come up short. And many of us, including myself, we come up short. So tonight, Lord, I need a spiritual overhaul. I need you to take some stuff out. Now, when you do a spiritual overhaul, the stuff that's good, you don't have to take me or do anything with it. But if I know I got some shortcomings, if I got some weak points, if I got some parts in this body that's ready to break, Lord, I need you to fix them. So he said, I want to take heed to my ways, that first of all, I don't want to sin with my tongue. Lord, in my spiritual overhaul, the first thing I want to do is I don't want to sin with my tongue. Now, James says the tongue is a what? Unruly member. Amen. Full of deadly poison. He said, no man can tame it. So what I want to do, I need to bring my tongue into control. He said, I take heed to my ways and sin not with my tongue. I will. Okay, I will keep my mouth with a. So if I'm taking heed, I'm trying to overhaul, I'm trying to bring about the change. The first thing I have to work on is not somebody else. Amen. I need a spiritual overhaul. So first, I will not sin with my tongue. Amen. I'm going to keep my mouth with a bridle. Well, why? Because I want to be saved. And I like the way the Apostle Paul puts it. He said, know ye that they which want to raise one? All. But only one obtains the prize. He says, so run ye that ye may what? Obtain. We don't run just to be running. We're not saved just to be identified. But we're running for a purpose. He says, so run ye that ye may obtain. Then Paul goes on to say this to bring myself in check. He said, everyone that striving for mastery is temperate, in control. Amen. In control, self-control. He said, everyone that strives for mastery is temperate. He said, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But we're doing it, brothers and sisters, to obtain an incorruptible crown. Our desire is to make it to heaven. Paul said, therefore, so I run, not with uncertainty. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I read the vision and it is plain, so I'm running, and I know I'm running. I know what I'm not just in church to identify with the saints, but I got a purpose. Amen. He said, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. There's some certainty. Amen. In being saved, I'm not just going to be abstractly and abruptly doing things, but I have a purpose. I have direction. You know, I've seen people do this in the past, and most of the time when you see someone doing this, you know they're not in their right mind. They just start running. And they're just running all over the place. You know why they're running? They have no certainty. Amen. And it reveals that there's some character traits on the inside that comes up short. Tonight, in our spiritual overhaul, when we run, do we know why we're running? Do we know what we're fighting? Amen. Paul said, goes on, he said, concludes with, therefore I keep under in me having a spiritual overhaul. I got to keep this body in subjection. If you don't keep the body in subjection, instead of you dictating to it, it will dictate to you. Amen. In your mind, you say, I purpose to do this, but then the body says, you don't feel like doing it, and you just succumb to it. Paul said, I can't do that. Amen. He said, I got to keep this body under subjection. That means that you have to beat this body. You got to slay it. In other words, have you ever seen somebody get into, have you ever seen a boxer at the end of a real bad fight? They're what? Black and blue? Paul said, that's how you got to treat this body, to keep it under subjection. You got to slay it. You got to beat it. He says, so I do this. Well, why? He said, lest by any means. Amen. After I've gotten the whole world saved, I become a castaway. What he was saying is, he said, I got to take heed to my ways. It's not important what, you know, a lot of times we like to put on the show stuff. You know, the show stuff is like when people are watching, I'm going to do the best. God sees us all the time. In taking heed to your ways, bring it all into subjection. Amen. Keep your body in subjection. It would do me a grave injustice if I could save millions and I wind up lost. I mean, doesn't even make sense. A spiritual overhaul is time for some change. Those weak things, those little niches that keep messing me up, the things that I keep stumbling over, Lord, I need a change. Lord, I need you to overhaul them. Amen. That part in me that wasn't functioning up to its capacity, Lord, replace it. Now, when they replace it, let's use an engine for say, when they overhaul the engine, you know, when the engine first come out, it has certain specs that it performs at. But through time, it wears down and it's not up to that specification. So what they do is they have to go back and get the original parts and put it back in. Lord, it's time for you to put some new stuff back in me. Amen. Lord, it's time for you to take some stuff out of me. Lord, you know, I've been saved for a little while, but the original stuff that I had in me is not where it should be. So, Lord, I'm asking you to overhaul me. The love that I ought to have, Lord, it isn't there, Lord, bring it back. The humility and humbleness that I ought to have, it's not in there. Lord, bring it back. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's keep going. Go to the next verse, please. He said, I was done with silence. I held my peace. And this was the sad part. He said, from good and from evil. He said, now I'm taking heed to my ways. Let me ask you a question. When we go to heaven and we all stand before God, and both the Bible already says, no, our judgment begins where? In the house of God. As God is judging us, I can't say, well, Lord, you know, I would have done it, but my wife asked me not to do this. That's not going to stand with God. And if you say, I didn't do it because this individual, I didn't do it, that individual is, the Bible turned that individual as a what? An idol. Anything that inhibits or prohibits you, anything, anyone, that inhibits or prohibits you from doing God's will in the Word, is an idol. It's wrong. You place that individual, that thing, that job, whatever it is, you place it in the stead of God. And God says it plainly, I will have no other. He said, I have no other. You justify it, and God says, not so. I will have nothing before me. Many times we make up excuses for why we aren't what God wants us to be. And most of the time, we always point it at somebody else. But the real problem is not anybody else. The real problem is that we haven't taken heed to our ways. Amen. We haven't gotten down on and started working. Listen, every last one of us knows the parts of us that need a change. But we dream about a change. Paul said this one is running with uncertainty. That's one that's fighting and he just beating the air. You know, years ago, you ever see somebody fight and they don't know how to fight? They just be swinging, all those haymakers. By the time they finish, the swing stop swinging, the person you know what they're doing, wait for them to finish, and then knocks them out. Right? You ever see that? That's hilarious, right? But you know, that's what we do in a lot of our spiritual lives. We just swinging at nothing and fighting, and then at the end, the devil just comes and knocks us out. Because we're not taking heed to our ways. Being saved is not an identification or a social issue. Being saved is spiritual. A spiritual change is something that happens on the inside. Amen. Because I'm saved and I'm saved from the inside, when people look at me, they might not know it. But down in my heart, God knows. Every last one of us. That's why when God judges us finally, he does not judge our minds. He does not judge our physical appearance. But the scriptures say he judges the secret things of our heart. It's time to be real with God. Amen. Why play? Why put on a facade? And God really knows us. Amen. Let's keep going to the next verse, please. He said, my heart was hot within me while I was musing the fire burn. Then spake I with my tongue. What we want? What? A spiritual overhaul. Then spake I with my tongue. He said, Lord, make me. I don't need somebody else to know somebody else's in. I want to change. Lord, make me to know my end. Lord, I need you to make me become real with myself. Make me to know my end and the what? Measure of my days, what is that I may know how frail I am. Amen. Sometimes we put up a facade, a fakeness about what we really are. And David the psalmist, near the end of his journey, he realized there were so many times that he came up short. He realized the times that he had sinned God, sinned against God, and failed even later as he sinned in numbering the people. David realized, Lord, I need to take heed to my ways. Lord, I need to bring myself in check. There were others around that tried to tell me the right thing. David said, but I didn't do it. He said, Lord, make me to know my end. And tonight, brothers and sisters, ask God to help you to see your end. And the measure of your days, what it is, that we may know how frail we are. Amen. We are all frail. Let's go to the next verse. He said, behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breath. What David concluded is, my life is nothing but a vapor. Hand breath, my life is nothing but a vapor. My life is the span of a hand. You look at a hand, it says, not much. David said, thou hast made my days as a hand breath, and my age is when I consider God and eternity and all that he is. Lord, my life is nothing. That's why it's time to be real. Lord, overhaul me. Nothing, verily, every man at his. Lord, at the best I am, I'm still nothing. When I look at God and when I consider God and all eternity, that's why I need God to work on me. That's why we need God to change us. Because in our best state, we're still nothing before God. David realized this. Go to the next verse. He says, surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. He's talking about life. Now you put all this into life. And as Solomon said, after I've done all of this, who knows whether or not a fool may take all that I've gained. So life cannot consist in the abundance of things that we have. Our life has to consist in our spirituality. He said, now Lord, what wait I for? Lord, the only hope I have is in. The only hope that any of us have is in God. Amen. No others may make promises. Our only hope is in God. The next verse. He said, deliver me from all my. Now David wrote this to the end of his life. David had it up. David had his downs. David was a man after God's own heart. But David was real. So many of us are so unreal. We just make ourselves all right. David said, deliver me from all my transgressions and make me not a reproach before the foolish. Lord, help me to be real. What good does it do to come to church and just play with God? Amen. How do we live in so many falsities? Amen. Let me just go to Psalms chapter, go to the fourth Psalm for 1 week. How do we live in falsities? Amen. When God has been so real to us. I'm not going to read all of this. I'm going to read a couple of verses though. We don't want to live in falsities. We'll start with verse 1 of the fourth chapter. We said, hear ye children, the instruction of your father. No, that's Proverbs, Psalms, sorry. Did I say Proverbs? Or Psalms? Psalms 4. Okay. You can't hear the instruction of a father, but that's not where we're going tonight. Let's go to Psalms 4. I'll start until she gets there. You say, hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Our righteousness is in God. O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Righteous skip stuff there. When I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear, Lord, hear my prayer. Tonight, we're all in some type of distress. And our request should be, Lord, hear my prayer. He said, O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? God has been good. How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? He said, how long are you going to live in falsity? How long are you going to live like you're really saved and on God's side, but you're living in leasing? Leasing means you're not real. It's hypocritical. It's false. How long? How long are we going to continue to play with God when God already knows? The scripture says concerning God, all of our ways are naked before his eyes. When it comes to God and what we do, he said, well, God, when we do it in the night or the day, it makes no difference because God sees it all. There's no difference. Now let's go to Psalms. Well, now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and then we'll come back to Psalms 131. Tonight, we're dealing with being real. Real with who? Real with yourself. Because God knows us as we are. The scripture says God sees us where we are. Amen. We can fool everybody else. Lord, but in my spiritual overhauling, Lord, change me. The parts that are messed up, Lord, please change me. Lord, the parts that need to be corrected, correct it. Lord, I don't want to live in vanity and I no longer want to live in leasing. In other words, it's just living a hypocritical life. Be real with God. He sees us where we are. Amen. David said, Lord, first of all, the number one thing I will control is my tongue. When I take heed to my ways, I will not sin with my tongue. As James said, how can the same fountain yield bitter and sweet water? How can the same tongue yield blessings and not in Christ? We want God to work on us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's go to verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us some things.
All things.
I think I can bishop. Say all things.
All things.
When he wanted to get the message across, he said, say this. Say all things.
All things.
All things. Amen. His divine power has given unto us what?
All things.
So God, whatever you need, whatever you require, God has already given it to us, and he will tell us how. Give us all things that pertain unto
life.
First, he gives us everything that pertains unto life. Who does it? God. What we allow the devil to do is mess our minds up to think that God can't do it. Our God hasn't done it. He said, according as his divine power has given unto us. Well, if we're short, it's not God. That's why I need a spiritual wall. If I'm weak, if I'm short, if I'm not doing the all things, the fault is not in God. Because he has given unto us that pertain unto life and that's all it exists. We're saved, your life, and you are supposed to be godly. Godliness through the knowledge. Well, how do we get it? Through the knowledge of him that has called us unto what?
Life and godliness.
Oh. Wait a minute, I gotta go to my Bible. You like to skip stuff for me. It's like a mountain, okay. All right, that's okay. Stop, should be late anyway, right? Use your Bible. Nobody say amen for this one.
Amen.
All right, it says, actually, I gotta get your Bible. Your Bible has bigger words. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us unto what? Glory and virtue. God has given us knowledge. Amen. And how do we get this knowledge? Through his divine power. Within ourselves that dwelleth no good thing. At our best state, the scripture says we're all together what? Vanity. Amen. And all of our righteousness.
Filthy rag.
Still a filthy rag.
Yes.
Because all that we are, all that we ever want to be, we owe it all to God. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and
precious
promises. That by these promises. That's why, dearly beloved, we got to hold on to his promises. That by these promises, we might be partakers of the what?
Divine nature.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through our flesh. That's what it means. When you give it to the appetites of your flesh, it will always bring you to corruption. Amen. That's why I must take heed to my ways. That's why when I run, I don't run for uncertainty. When I fight, I don't fight as one that beat it the air. I run that I may obtain the prize. How do I do it? I keep under my body. It dictates. But I get like Jesus. The Bible said that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he knew his time was approaching, he began to pray. Amen. And because I want to keep under my body, he prayed to the sweat turned into great drops of blood. Amen. He agonized in prayer to accomplish his purpose. A lot of us are trying to accomplish our purpose, but we don't pray. We don't agonize. And Jesus was our perfect example. Why do you think he told his disciples? He said, now listen, your hour of testing is coming. You're about to go through something. He said, so now if you want to know how to win or overcome this, watch me. And the Bible said he went away with thought souls cast away. And he got down and prayed and he came back. He came and he found them just like the churches today, slumbering and sleeping. The Lord said, now wait a minute, I already told you. Your test is coming. The big one is on its way. The big one is either going to make you or break you. The big test is going to sift you as wheat. He said, so I need you to watch me because my greatest test is before me. The greatest test, not only am I trying to conquer my flesh, but I'm fighting this devil because he wants me to fight back through the flesh. Because he realized when I start fighting through the flesh, that I'm losing my divine my mouth, my tongue. When I start fighting a physical battle, the devil knows that I'm going to lose. Amen. But you don't have to fight the devil. Amen. One thing the bishop said, he brought it out so eloquently when we were in Georgia. He says, too many of us keep fighting and arguing with the devil. Devil is telling us something. We argue back and forth with him. You ain't got to argue with the devil. Amen. Let's go over this. He mentioned this. I thought this was just so outstanding the way he brought it. I could never do it like he did it. Man, he was a preaching machine. But let's go to Jude. He said, why in the world says church keep fighting? The devil puts stuff in your mind. Why do you keep arguing with the devil? Amen. Why do you fight with the devil? You don't have to fight with him. Let's go to Jude. I'll show you. Go to Jude verse 8. Jude verse 8, then we're going to go to Zechariah chapter 3. We don't have to fight the devil. God has already given us the victory. The authority is in the name of the Lord. All right, Jude 1:8. I'm sorry, that's not the one. Oh, say. Okay, 9. Okay, it's like, oh, that's weird. That ain't right. All right, 9. Says, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He didn't waste his time arguing with him. He didn't argue with the devil. He didn't go reasoning back and forth. Every time we get a little test, we start fighting back and forth with the devil and start reasoning with him. We give place to the devil. He said he does not bring a railing accusation against him. But he simply said, the Lord rebuke thee. Michael didn't have time to sit there and argue. Well, you don't call him. No. You know what? God has already given us the victory. Yes. So all we have to do is rebuke the devil in the name of the Lord. He says, the Lord rebuke thee. Why are they on the argue and play games with the devil and other people that's all on the wrong side? Our victory is in God. So the bishop said this. He said, in the church, the devil always going to try and get in there. He said, you pastors just say the Lord rebuke thee. We got to get him out. In our homes, stop entertaining that foolishness. Just simply tell them the Lord rebuke thee. Didn't Jesus say, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it? Then why don't we use the power that God has given us? Stop playing with the devil. Stop entertaining him. Just do what? Rebuke him. Go to Zechariah chapter 3. I think it's verse 2. These are two of the times when they just don't have time to play with the devil. Stop entertaining him. Stop allowing him to play in your mind. Just simply rebuke him. Zechariah 3. Oh, that's when I'm going to start at verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest. And I like to think, even though this was, you know, Zechariah is a very revelational and spiritual book. The book of Zechariah parallels two books in the Bible. All right, my Bible scholars, what are they? And Daniel, right? The parallels, a whole lot in Zechariah and Isaiah, Daniel and Revelations, amen? So it's a book with spiritual insight to a future event. Now he said, now he showed me Joshua. Joshua means
Jesus.
The Lord is my salvation. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus means what? Jehovah is salvation. So Joshua can easily be replaced as who? Jesus. And in essence, that's what it is. Said he showed me Joshua the high priest. Jesus was a what?
High priest.
Right? This is at no charge. This is just extra. The high priest standing before the what?
Jesus.
was standing there to do what?
Intercede.
To resist him. Lord, have mercy. Why do we keep fighting the devil? He has no power. He can't do anything against us. He said, standing against him, and the Lord said unto, hallelujah. Stop losing battles. Stop fighting with the devil. Stop reasoning with him. In the home, in the job, wherever you are, all you have to do is say simply what? The Lord rebuke thee. Lord, why do we keep going through stuff over and over that we don't have to go through when all we have to do is rebuke the devil? The Lord rebuke thee. Amen. He is God. You can read that on later. It goes on and give the whole illustration. At the end, and being in filthy clothes is just nothing but the Lord himself. Then he turns around and he's wrapped in a robe of white righteousness. Amen. Go back to 2 Peter. Let me speed this up. Stop losing battles. I don't know what to do. You do know what to do. Amen. The victory is in the name. The power is in the name. The authority is in the name. So all you have to do is use the name. Amen. Homes are wrecked. Use the name. Job are wrecked. Let everybody on the job be a mess, but you're saved. It can't be the same. You are the light of the world. How can you be in the world and the world and that darkness comprehend you? Right? Change. We need to bring you about a spiritual overhaul. Let the world and everything else around us fall apart, and you stand as a light. Why? We are sitting and set on the hill. God says we cannot be hid. Change our mentality. God has been too good. Says the sign says, giving all, give your very best effort honestly. Diligence means give your very best effort honestly. A lot of us give effort, but it's haphazard and not honest. Amen. We know there's no truth in it. Diligence, your very best effort honestly. Add to your faith. Now you are saved. You have conviction. Add to that faith your conviction to be saved. Virtue. In other words, have some moral excellence. No matter what anybody else does, you be right before God. If everybody else on the job only want to work 7 hours and 10 minutes and you're supposed to work 8, have moral excellence. They say, well, I know about everybody. I know everybody else won't, but I know this brother, sister, see. Moral excellence is other people seeing your good works. And then because they see your good works, they glorify your moral excellence. That's virtue. You are saying now add something to your salvation. Add to your faith some moral excellence. And then to virtue some knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7, we're not going to go there, says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of. Most people don't fear the Lord. That's why they don't have knowledge. You say, fear God. Well, how do I fear God? I do the right things all the time. In righteousness. Righteousness means I do the things that are pleasing in the sight of God. Nobody has to watch me. Nobody has to see where I go, how I act, how I conduct myself. I do what's right in the sight of God. That's my spiritual overhaul. Amen. So I'm saying faith. Amen. I want to do some things that's morally right, and I'm going to do it according to knowledge. Amen. God has an order. You have to be saved before you can do some moral good things. Then as you start living saved, you got to do it according to knowledge. Amen. Then you want to add to your knowledge some what? Self-control. I possess my vessel in sanctification. Possess yourself in patience. It means some self-control. control. What am I doing? I'm doing an overhaul. Spiritually. I'm doing a change. I'm overhauling because I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If you're not overhauling, if you're not changing spiritually, how can God reward you and say, enter ye into the joy of the Lord? Heaven will ever be joyful. Once we get there, there will be only glory, glory, and hallelujah when we get there. So we're going to add to knowledge temperance. And to temperance,
patience
means stop quitting and giving up under the pressure. Amen. We get pressure, we cannot stand. So when something withstands us, instead of us using the name of the Lord to rebuke it and go forward, we get detoured, or swerved from our purpose. Every time something don't go right, we take it out on God. He said, listen, you're saved. You're trying to do things morally. You're trying to do it according to knowledge. You got some control. He said, now stop quitting. Stop quitting on God. I don't want to be a part of that arena. What are you waiting for? As good as God has been to you, we should have all for God even more. Amen. He said, patience, some what? The God-like character. Amen. Godliness. What are we doing? A spiritual what?
Overhaul.
If you don't know what to do, just keep reading 2 Peter 1, verses 3 through 6. It will help you out. Amen. It says, and to godliness, it means brotherly love is what it means. Brotherly love. Now, that's the difference between worldly love and brotherly love. This is not brotherly love. If I'm too friendly with somebody else's spouse or someone else's, not my spouse, that's not brotherly love. That's moral not excellent. That's wrong. If you're the wife, you don't want to be friendly with someone, too friendly with a male on your job or anywhere else, that's not brotherly kindness. Brotherly love means like God. It means to love as a Christian. Amen? All right, y'all have to support me. I'm still going on. I'm going all the way with the Lord. Don't make a difference. But the truth is the truth. Stop playing in church with God. You know, my wife and myself, it's amazing how all, so many people in church, how in the world are you married and got an opposite sex member of your best friend? You talk to them more than you talk to your spouse. And you divulge private stuff. And you think God is pleased with that kind of foolishness? Amen. You develop an emotional attachment to somebody that you shouldn't even be attached to? And think God is pleased with that?
Wrong.
Amen. Overhaul that. I said overhaul that. Get that mess out of you. Amen. How can you please God? You want to speak to your spouse for 5 minutes and take hours talking to somebody else. And God's going to say, well pleasing? No. Brotherly kindness. I love the Lord. No. Love who he's supposed to love first. Now he did say, he said, after brotherly love, charity, that charity is your love to God. But now before you get to God, you got to get to your brothers and sisters. This is God. Now this is wrong, you know, and just for the record, if you, not that we've had it happen here, but for the record in other places. You should not spend your time texting, calling, Facebooking somebody of the opposite sex. How's God going to make glory out of that? I'm talking about when you're married. As you're singles, you should do it to somebody in church. Well, I'm talking about you married, and you just spent 40 hours texting somebody and having a good time. Wait a minute, that's not God. How's God going to be glorified in that? You did all that time texting them and having spent a few minutes to acknowledge God. Lord, I need a spiritual overhaul. I need to change. I need God to be glorified in my life. Amen. What I'm saying is this. I'm kind to everybody I meet. But nowhere I'm going to be kinder to anybody else than I can be to my own wife. Then I'm going to go home and think things going to be well. I got to be looking for all the frying pans and hide them. Hey, how come the frying pan look like all the cans in there? Because I use it all the time. But what I'm saying is this. Salvation is being real. If you can't be real with yourself, amen, you can't be real with anybody else. Get it right. Well, I thought they just needed encouragement. If you read in the back in the Bible days, that's why in the old church, we do like the old church. In the old church, all the women sit on one side, all the men sit on one other side. You know why? Because they didn't want to give any appearance of evil. They wanted to make sure that if there was a woman in front of a man with something going too tight, he couldn't see it. If they were exposed at all because they were on their side and he was on this side. That's how it used to be. Somebody said, we need to go back. But they did that because they were trying to keep holiness in the church. We need to go back to God's standards. Amen. Only standard to account is God's standards. Moral excellence. You know, and even that, even on a job, you have to work with people on your job. They may be the opposite sex. It should be strictly business. They should know about your personal affairs. And guess what? You should not know about theirs. It should be a business atmosphere. The devil is wise. Amen. He starts a little at a time, and a little at a time, and a little at a time. When you're not getting the right thing at home and you put yourself out, you become emotionally, inadvertently attached to someone that's giving you too much attention or vice versa. And then in the end, like, I don't know how it happened. You do know how it happened. You should have been talking about that and advising them about stuff. Well, if I'm a man and I come to a sister and say, oh yeah, I'll give you one of the ministers in the church number, you can call in there, help you out. And vice versa, if one of the women comes, oh yeah, I'll give you one of the sisters name in the church, they can help you out. Because the Bible said, let not your good. Hello? Right? So if you're spending a whole lot of hours in the unsaved or watching you, what do they think? Moral excellence. Amen? Is that any, that's not ambiguous, is it? Right? That's black and white. Like I'm black, my shirt is white, he can't mix it up, right? I'm black, my ring is, no, let's keep going. And to God, there's brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity, that's God's love. Keep going. For if these things be in you and they are manifesting themselves. Everything to faith, to virtue, to knowledge, to temperance, to brotherly kindness, and patience. If they be in you and they are manifesting themselves, when people can see it in your life, and they bring you about, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor what? We want to be fruitful. In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. But he, when you don't do the spiritual law, when you remain in the place that you are, but he that lacketh these things, when you don't have them, when they're not in your life, I don't understand. This is the problem. But he that lacketh these things, he is blind and cannot see. And then because your mind is not right, you have forgotten that you've been purged from your sins. Therefore, the brethren, give all diligence to make your callings and elections sure. We did all that to say we gotta be sure. Salvation. Being saved, honoring God is not about playing games. Do it right. Well, you know, I grew up down south, and everybody, they just like, they had so much foolishness, I never could figure it out. They always was hiding the truth behind a lie. You know, I just leave it like, when they hide the truth behind a lie. Oh, what'd you do? Oh, they just called to do this. Don't lie, be truthful, be honest, be real. Now let's go to Psalms, we'll close with this. Psalms 139. Remember, he that lacketh these things is what?
Blind.
And cannot see afar off. When you don't have that spiritual overhaul, you're blind. You cannot see afar off. And he's forgotten that he's been purged from his old sins. When you forget that you're not, you've been purged from your old sin, then you don't act godly. Right? How can you act godly when you forgot what God has done for you? You cannot be saved and act like God when you forgot. So if you don't want to forget, add to it. Add to it. This word add means to minister through service. It means to experience a change. That add means to minister through service or experience a change. Now we can all read it. That's not enough. Then we have to put it into action. Minister through service. All right, Psalms 139 and the last two verses of 139. Go down to the last two. This 139. This is what we need to ask God tonight. More than anything else, search me, oh God. Not about just being in church and putting up a facade, going through the motions. It's time for a spiritual overhaul. We can only get that through God. Search me, oh God, and not my lips, not what I try to act like. Lord, know what's down in here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Then after you search me and know my heart, then do what? Try me and know my Lord, I got to be right in my heart and in my mind. If my heart is right, my mind is right, I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so glad. My heart is right, my mind is right, I'm on my way to heaven. Heart's not right. My mind's not right. I messed up. I can't please God. He says, and see if there be, Lord, I need a spiritual overhaul. The overhaul is I have to examine it down to the specifics. I have to examine it to make sure everything is in line. Make sure it's up to the specifications that it started off at. That's the kind of overhaul. I'm examining it. And some of the stuff just ain't what it used to be. Prayer life, not what it used to be. My daily devotions with God, not what they used to be. Lord, I need you to take me back to the original specifications. I need to be real. See if there be any, Lord, see if I've been detoured from your purpose and your call in my life. And then after you have searched me, my heart, tried my mind, and after you've seen it, it says, any which way in me, Lord, I need permission. Lord, I'm not going to fight you. You know, it's hard, as Ella Hinchcliffe says, it's hard for somebody to lead you from behind. So a lot of us want God to lead us, but he's behind us. Where he leads me, I will. That's Mac's song, right? Yeah. Mac, you go with what? You got to beat that song up, though. I go with the what? All the way. Where he where he leads me, I will follow. I heard you, man. Lord, I don't want you to lead me in my way. Amen. I don't want you to lead you in the way I think I should go. But lead me in the way
everlasting.
Lead me in the way to everlasting life. Lord, I give you permission. In my overhaul and my change, Lord, you lead me. For the last 30 or 40 years, I've been doing it my way, and it's become more of a mess than it ever has been. So, Lord, now I ask you to search me, O God, and know my heart. Lord, I know I'm coming down, as David said, my life is nothing more than a hand breath, just a short space between before thee. In my days, my age is nothing. I'm coming down to the end of a journey. It's time for me to be real. I've pondered and blundered through my same life long enough. It's time to get real. Lord, the only way that I can be real is I need you to take control. Lord, I'm going to follow you. You lead me. Lord, as you lead me, there's some parts of me that I know it's going to be hard. But it's all about heaven now.
Yes.
Amen. It's all about being real. So, Lord, I just give you permission to lead me in the way to everlasting life as we stand. Lord, we need a spiritual overhaul. The overhaul starts in the heart and in the mind. Paul said it this way. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, read, he says this, examine yourselves tonight to see whether you're in the
faith.
Add to your faith all the other things, but you have to first be in the faith. Listen, he didn't do knowledge and godliness and patience. First thing he had to start off with was what? Faith. Examine yourselves tonight to see if you're in the faith or